the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, USA Today's NFL wire site, covering, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, and with me for our third show of the week. I've got a bonus show this week, basically, because Seth Cox, my co-host from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, Arizona SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and after we had a two-part series of two shows with Justin Higdon joining us to talk about the NFL Combine. We had those in consecutive days. This is our free agency preview, episode 646. Seth, it is time. We're recording on Thursdays. We got the weekend to prepare. Monday is when the madness begins. And so, like, next week, I mean, like, if we were to record something like on Tuesday, we would just be like in the middle of it and it would be outdated even before I got the show published.
Yeah, and I mean, it's already happening. The Jacksonville Jaguars have traded former Arizona Cardinal Christian Kirk to the Houston Texans. Our buddy Kyle Odegaard had a great reaction in that that contract is going to get fulfilled. Like, nobody saw that happening. And I know that the salary cap has gone way, way up, but nobody saw him getting every penny, and he's going to now because of the trade and you know, the Texans paying him what, 16 plus million. And doing so because sounds like what, Stephon Diggs is gone, right? So, like, the carousel has already started. It's going to be fun to kind of watch and track. But man, that was that's a wild start to it. And then, you know, guys will talk about
it. Atwell getting $10 million from the Rams. Like,
I know. And wow. People had thoughts on that because, you know, what is interesting about what the Rams are doing is that it's not conducive in any way to a team that is bringing back Matt Stafford, right? Like, Cooper Kupp's, you know, probably gone. Obviously they brought back Stafford, but it's just an interesting dynamic the way that the Rams were going about things. And now you've got a lot of different balls in the air to see how these land. And you know, it all starts and ends with the quarterback position in the NFL, right?
It does. Now let's take a look at the Cardinals. We're going to kind of go quickly position by position, going over potential, like, what do we think is going to happen, whether guys are going to re-sign, who are some names to watch in free agency. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, start at quarterback. We know where they're not looking for a starter. What do you think they're going to do? I'm not convinced they're going to try and get like really established backup. I think the strategy is going to be somewhat like last offseason. So they went out and traded for Desmond Ridder, and which we felt was a good move because it's a guy who had starting experience, who was at worst a league average, a mediocre quarterback, and Clayton Toombs playing just beat him out. And my belief is that they do believe in Clayton Toombs as a backup. And so for me, here are some names for a backup / competitor for Toon or to watch. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back Desmond Ridder because they liked him well enough to have him on the practice squad. So I wouldn't rule that out. Tyler Huntley, also, and then maybe to a second, Zach Wilson, if we're kind of going that route, do you think they go above that level for their backup?
No, probably not. I mean, you got to look at a couple things, right? You've got, you know, Mac Jones, maybe. He's a free agent. He was, you know, bad in Jacksonville. But, you know,
you can do Taylor Heinicke, you know,
what's crazy about the older side. I was going to say, yeah, he's older. Like he's going to be 32, man. Like that's wild to think because it doesn't seem like it, but he's just been around for so long. You know, so yeah, I look at it. I mean, the guys that would make sense, I think you kind of mentioned, I just don't see where, other than maybe Huntley, there's guys that fit. You know, if you can get a Mac Jones or a Daniel Jones for $5 million, I don't see the problem. Right.
Right. But, right. I like at the same time, like that tier of like you kind of know what you have as a backup is like $5 million. And I don't know if the Cardinals are willing to go that route. Like, I think they like Tune enough to,
but they also don't need to. Like, that's the other thing, right? Like they're kind of like, we don't need to do that. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense. So I think you nailed a couple competitive guys, maybe, but for the most part, it's gonna be run this thing back. Maybe you find somebody in the draft that you like enough, right? But nothing wild, no crazy things. I mean, do we even need to broach the subject of running back?
I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Because anyone they think that they've got their starter, they've got their youngster in Trey Benson, who they really are excited about. They've got their third down guy in DeMercado. You've got your special teams guy in DJ Dallas. And on top of that, you've kind of got a vet guy to compete in Michael Carter. So they could add someone. I just don't think that if they do, it's going to be anyone that you'd even want to mention in here. So like right. you're going to get a guy on a minimum contract. Yeah, it's going to be a minimum contract guy who maybe could compete with Amari DeMercado.
And that'll be a young guy
Ronnie Rivers.
Right. Like names that aren't going to happen, but you know, Javonte Williams, right? Like never really panned out with the Broncos. Could end up being something, you know, Emmanuel Wilson from the Packers, like those guys coming in to potentially give them something.
Right. So the running back position, like, I don't think, and they shouldn't. They're in a good spot. And, you know, if they really want another running back, you know what they should do? Draft one of the really good, like, this year's running back class is great.
Right.
So
go spend some capital on that, not in free agency. So
let's look at the receiver position where we know they need at least one starting capable. So a guy that's going to be 2-3 who is at least as good as Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson, you know, we know Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison are their big pass catchers, but they need to have two guys who you can expect to get 600 to 800 yards yet. And I don't know if we can count on Michael Wilson as being the number two receiver yet. He hasn't cracked 600 yards in either season. He could do it, but I want someone who is at least that. And there's some, I mean, there's names out there. Like they could go with a splash, like going with a Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen or Chris Godwin. I don't think they do. Tyler Lockett's probably going to end up with the Raiders. But, you know, a KJ Osborne, I wouldn't mind. Zay Jones actually makes sense if they liked him, but he wasn't mentioned. In John Gambadora recently mentioned six guys that the Cardinals are going to try and re-sign. Zay Jones wasn't part of that group. So I could see Zay Jones coming back. Do you think Greg Dortch is going to be back? I just feel like he's going to want a better opportunity, even though Kyler likes him. He's just not that productive offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's always good for one big game a year, right? And gets everybody fired up and then doesn't really do much after that. You know, the name that I like out of this group for the Cardinals that I think makes the most sense is Josh Palmer. You know, kind of a big play down the field type of guy with the Chargers the last couple of years. His salary projections is very, very palatable at $4.5 million.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's had good seasons. You go back to his second year, 769 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, I like him in that role. The last 2 years, both years, dealt with injuries, but put up over 550 yards and over 15 yards per catch. So, you know, I that's who I would like in that range, you know, that $4 million, $5 million range. You mentioned Diami or another guy, you know, that maybe you could look at Diami Brown out of was with the Washington Commanders for a while. Never really put up big numbers. So I think with him, you're going to be looking like less than, you know, probably less than $2.5 million. There's some names, but like, it's not what they need, right? Like I love Elijah Moore's game with the Browns, but I feel like he is a more souped up version of Greg Dortch in terms of size. But, you know, again, another slot guy. Like, I think what they need is, you know, that guy that can stretch the field, that can create space.
I'm going to say it again. We've said it for like 3 years in a row. DJ Chark would be a perfect fit.
Yeah. Just he's got to figure out if he can play consistently. You know, so there's a decent little group there. But, you know.
Jalen Reagor. And like we're not going to go crazy with some of these names, but especially kind of how they started to settle on their rotation, because they like playing Marv inside. They like putting Michael Wilson inside late in the season. So, and the Cardinals like, you know, taller receivers, like the 6 foot and up. But they also don't like old guys. And so you start looking at, like, is this the year that they start going with the 30 plus to fill? I'm not sure. Like, that's what we don't know yet, because they did they went like 1 year deals, like in their first year with Monty. Then they got, you know, kind of middle tier free agents on 3 year deals. Is this the year that they're going to say, okay, I'll put an old guy in here? So could a Keenan Allen be a possibility? I don't know, but those are some names to know, I guess. And those guys are older. I wouldn't, like, you got Devin Duvernay. He's got the Kyler Murray cousin connection, but I don't think that's going to be a case. Like, I still think DJ Chark would be a good match in terms of fit, because he can play outside. He's got that speed. But yeah, let's go on for there. Tight end. Are we going to even mention tight end? Because
No.
So with that, coming up next on the Rise of Secret podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to the next part of the show, where we talk about offensive line, defensive line, and edge. That's coming up next on Rise of Secret. We're back on the Rise of Secret podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Looking at the different position groups. We looked at back a quarterback. We looked at receiver, running back, and tight ends. I don't think we're going to worry about those. Any additions will be minimum contracts. Now, offensive line, now we've got some things here. So let's talk about the three main free agents that they have. You've got Kelvin Beach, Evan Brown, Will Hernandez. I know that they want to re-sign Beach, and I know that they want to re-sign Brown. Do you think Will comes back?
I mean, I don't think anybody would be opposed to bringing the whole gang back. You look at, again, market values, all we can use right now, $4.5 million for for Hernandez, 4 million for Beach, 4.5 million for Brown, right? So if you were to do all three at, let's just say, let's call it 13 million, I don't think anybody's going to complain about that, right?
No.
That being said, you know, it's a little difficult in the sense of, you know, those are good players, but also like you're at the point now where are you wanting to upgrade? Like, let me ask you a question. If you can get like a Jedrick Willis, who's, you know, been injury prone, hasn't turned out to be the guy that everybody had hoped, you know, in Cleveland, I know he's been mostly a left tackle in the NFL, but he never played left tackle, you know, before that. Would you give him a shot? You know, he was obviously a top 10 pick. Would you be willing to bring him in on like a 1 year, $5 million type deal, right? Like,
that would be perfect.
Right. And so, you know, kind of again, the Eagles model, like what they did with, what's his name? Mekhi Becton, right? Like maybe right tackle is a better option. Maybe left guard, you know, any of those positions that he hasn't played before, that he hasn't failed at like he did at the tackle position. So, you know, that's one of the things that I've thought about with this whole situation is how does that all kind of play together and work? You know, another name that's not a bad name, but again, like you have to make a decision on what you're looking for in terms of, excuse me, in terms of like age, right? You know, there's who's the kid that was with the Steelers? Oh, goodness gracious. James Daniels. I think he's he's a guy that is a free agent. I just want to double check that was the name. Yeah, James Daniels. He, you know, he's had a good career, but he's like, he's now you're talking about double that, right? So you're saying like, okay, you know, we don't want to go with the $4 million for the older guy. Are we willing to go with the $8 million for the younger guy that maybe you can sign to a 3 year, you know, $25 million contract type thing? You know, those are the questions that you have to ask. There's obviously the big names, right? Like there's the guys that are going to be really in terms of value and in terms of big numbers. There are guys out there still that will draw some attention. But for the most part, you know, those guys don't hit free agency, right?
No. I think Beecham will be back. It'll be interesting to see what sort of interest he gets elsewhere. If he can get a okay deal here, because he's got his family here, I'm sure he doesn't want to move him. I could see them re-signing Beach. I think they'll re-sign Beach. I think they'll re-sign Evan Brown. I think they let Will Hernandez walk. I think the whole knee thing, like we've seen them walk away from guys who suffered knee injuries and, you know, DJ Humphreys, they let go. Jonathan Ledbetter, they didn't bring back, even though they liked him. I don't recall him getting anywhere. Josh Woods, linebacker, when they come off of a season with a kind of a big knee injury, they're like, okay, we'll take a look at you maybe down the road. So I think Brown will be back. I think Beach will be back. And then the question is, how much do they trust Isaiah Adams? So like you look at, would they make a splash, a little bit of a splash for a guy like Patrick McCary, who is going to be, he'll get him. I my guess is he's going to get himself a nice contract. I mean, the market value on SpotTrack says, you know, $10.3 million for 3 years. I could see them going that. Jedrick Wills, I think, would be fantastic. If you can't bring back Beecham, I think Jedrick Wills would be absolutely 100% perfect, because we don't know the status of Jonah Williams, how soon he's coming back. And then you've got two guys. So you feel comfortable if Jonah gets hurt again or isn't ready, you've got a guy in Wills. And then you can let Christian Jones still, you know, develop or compete behind them. But yeah, so I think Brown will be back. I think Beach will be back. And the question is, who do they add to that? Are they gonna piecemeal it and just go, like, if the goal is built through the draft, okay, Aaron Banks is an interesting option. Aaron Banks, Patrick McCarry, that range. I wouldn't be surprised them going for one of them, or even say Tevin Jenkins, one of your guys back in the day for tackle, ended up being not working out there, but could play guard at an okay level. What do you think of any of those guys?
Right. And like I was going to mention Jenkins, he's projected at, you know, 10 and a half million, kind of like McCarry, a young guy. So, you know, you're paying for, you know, what he has been and what you're hoping he continues to be. You know, you mentioned Aaron Banks, right? Like a $10 million a year guy. Like those are mid-level guards, you know, so they're not the top guys. The Quinn Manerez and those type of guys, right? But they're the next level down. Obviously, you know, a guy like Ben Cleveland who just got in trouble, you know, just had a DUI situation. What does that mean for his ability to go get paid? It's going to be really interesting to just to watch this all unfold because, you know, I don't know who the big ticket item is out there that fits with what the Cardinals need, right? Like you got Drew Dahlman, who's being looked at as like a big time center. But that's not really where they need to go offensively, especially along the line. So it's just, you know, it comes down to a bunch of things and looking at these guys. And I think, you know, maybe McCarry, maybe Jenkins, but I think for the most part, it's going to be, you know, again, they do a good job in the discount section and tend to hit that well. We've seen it with, you know, the Froholt, Will Hernandez, and even Evan Brown last year when he was healthy.
Yeah, that was actually a really nice addition. And you know, we 100% could see them prioritizing the offensive line in the draft, first and second round. So we could be looking at a potential starter there. Let's go to the defensive side on the interior. People keep wanting to say Milton Williams. I don't think they're going to go on. They're not going to. Are they going to spend $20 million a year on a guy like Milton Williams, who's gotten to play next to Jalen Carter and has been equally productive as Dante Stills?
Yeah, and that's the hard part, right? Like we've talked about it. You're really projecting, and I get that you're doing that with all these positions, right? But like but at the end of the day, it's really difficult to take a guy like a Milton Williams and go, yeah, let's pay him, you know, X, right? Like this absurd amount of money that he's definitely going to get and feel like, oh yeah, this is the best thing for this team. And it's not that I'm against it by any means. And I hope people understand that. It's just that, you know, 20 million a year, 18 to 20 million a year for a guy, like just said, that's been a, you know, the number three guy in a rotation. It just makes me a little more nervous. Wow. Now, again, that's not to say that you shouldn't do it, but you know, we've always been like built through the draft. And it's like, by the way, let's go spend $20 million on a number three defensive lineman from the best defensive line in the NFL, right? Like, and I get that you're saying like, oh, okay, so he played on the best defensive line in the NFL. That's why he was the number three. But also it's like, was that partially why he was so good? Because he was right. Able to play on the best defensive line in the NFL, be the number three, come in a rotation and not have to be the guy. Like those are all questions that we won't know the answer to until somebody pays him. And then we say like, oh, this was a good call, or like dodge that bullet. Like, and again, I don't care if that's what they do. I just am not going to be the guy that's saying like, oh, this team completely messed up by not going out and paying him all that money. Like, that's just not, I won't go there. Like, so, if they end up doing it, I'll say, I'm happy.
Good luck. That
they, right. I'll say I'm people happy that they went and spent the money.
Right. And people were crazy about the Justin Jones deal a year ago at $10 million a year.
Yeah. And so
people thought that was too much. And yeah, to double that, man, the salary cap is going crazy. So we forgot to talk about the guys that they could re-sign: LJ Collier, Naquan Jones, Roy Lopez. How many of those guys re-sign?
That's the hard part, because which one of those guys are going to create, maybe Lopez and Collier. Like, I don't feel like anybody's going to create this like urgency on the market. Right.
I could see all three re-signing. I know that they like Naquan Jones, that they're like, they like some of the potential of him, but I say if I had to pick two of the three, it would be Collier. One, because he wants to be here too. They do like him. And Roy Lopez, I don't know if I should read too much into it. He is a touch older, but did you see the video that Zach Gershom retweeted or reposted on X, where Dante Stills and Darius Robinson were working out together with soon-to-be free agent Daniel Qualley, who's 31 years old, played for the Patriots.
No, I didn't see that.
So there was a video, they're working out together. I'm like, oh, future Cardinal Daniel Qualley? Who says there's nothing particularly special about him? Let me pull up. So Qualley.
Yeah, and there's no market projection, which tells you like he's a guy that can be had, late in the process as well. And so
yeah, he will. He was a full-time starter for the first time last season. Started 16 of 16 games. He had a sack, but he's kind of he's not a super productive. He's a space eating, just kind of like I guess what they've had been like a Roy Lopez, just not quite as big. 6'3", 310. I don't know if he plays more nose tackle, but you see him working out with two Cardinals. You're like, maybe. So keep an eye on Daniel Qualley, because maybe he will be kind of on their radar as a rotational guy, or maybe someone that can replace Roy Lopez if he signs elsewhere.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, we're at the point right now where it's like all these guys were good for Arizona, but I think they're looking for upgrades, but also not pushing themselves to like make a decision immediately. Right. Like, they're like, if we need to bring these guys back, we will. Like, it's not the time to panic.
Let's look at the edge. Okay. Now this is the money position. How many of their own guys do they bring back? You've got Gardeck, you've got Browning, you've got Demikeji, you've got Aquara, you've got Jesse Luketa. I think two.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What do you make of Gardeck from the standpoint of if that's a priority for Jeff Rogers? Isn't that why he's brought back, not because of his pass rushing or lack of or whatever?
But I think he's also at the part, because we've seen Rodgers do this with other guys. I think he might have aged out. Like, after 7 years of Zeke Turner, they let him move on. So I think we're at the point where it is, we love Gardecki, but we move on. You've now aged out of the program.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting, because I do like, I do like him. But like you said, I think there's also the reality that it might be time to go. Do you think they bring back Baron Browning?
I think 100% that's one of their priorities. Because you unless they really disliked him.
Right, unless he had an issue or something.
They just realized, oh, he's not that good. But from what I've heard, they do want to re-sign Browner. So if of those guys, I think Aquara is gone. I don't think they're like, ooh, Aquara. I think Victor DiMicchegi's gone, although he could be a guy they bring back for special teams. Though he was, of course, he played a lot of special teams. But I bet Laquette is back. He really, back half of last season, suddenly became a productive pass rusher. So Laquette, Browning, and then the question is, what else? Do they go Reddick? Do they go get Josh Sweat? Like, do you think Josh Sweat is actually on their radar, or if this is just everyone else matching them? Everyone is shipping Josh Sweat and the Cardinals because of it makes too much sense. But do you think they pull the trigger that they're going to go out and pay him $18 to $20 million a year?
I mean,
Baron Browning.
Yeah. I think they're going to try to. I don't think that, you know, I don't think it's a done deal, but I think it's going to be a goal of theirs to go get him. Okay. And it makes sense to me. I mean, he's a talented player. He's done a great job. Couple names that I like, if they're unable to get Sweat, that, you know, that we haven't discussed, Charles Amenihu, the Kansas City free agent coming off an injury this year. You know, last year, 4.5 sacks. Or, 2 years ago with San Francisco, 4.5 sacks. Then last year with Kansas City in their Super Bowl run, 7 sacks as a part-time player in only 11 games, right? So Amenihu's an interesting one. I think they can get him on a maybe like a 1 to 2 year prove it deal coming off an injury. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind at all in that scenario. From there it these guys don't hit the market a lot. You know, you've got Aziz Ojulari, BJ's brother, who's dealt with injury issues of his own. Dio Odoyinbo, I think he's going to go too high or be a little too pricey, but he's probably the next guy in terms of production, right? That would make sense. He's coming off a down year, but the two previous years, 5 and 8 sacks. He's a productive guy, and he fits the what they've described, right? 6'6", 280. He can play on the edge and fold down inside. Like, he's kind of exactly what they've been talking about, right? Now the name is escaping me. The one that we talked about the other day. Oh,
goodness gracious.
Say again.
Malcolm Kuntz, the Raider.
Yes, Kuntz. Thank you. Another guy coming off an injury, right? And so we'll see what his market is, because again, you're talking about a guy that the year before was insane. And he was lost all this year, but they were expecting big things of him. And he's young. He's a little bit more of like the edge rushing type of like, you know, more of like a Hassan Reddick, not the Dio Odoyinbo that we just talked about. So it's a different type of rusher. Sweat's kind of the guy in the middle, right? Like, so Dio's the multifaceted big edge that can fold down in. Kuntz is more of your like pure edge only guy, and then Sweat's kind of the middle ground. Those names are all interesting to me. But at the end of the day, it's just going to be about how do you find the guys that fit, and who are the guys that fit what you're looking for. Obviously, you know, like you said, Hassan Reddick's out there. He's going to be much, much cheaper than he was because he got really bad advice by his agents. So you probably are getting him on a one-year deal where he's looking to cash in, and so you're getting a motivated player. But is that something that they're wanting to do, right? Like, is that something
right,
that they're,
right.
they're thinking like, oh, we don't really want to mess with that. So, yeah, I mean, there's some interesting guys, man, in this edge rushing class. I think this is the most loaded edge rushing free agent class I can remember in a while. But the outside of Sweat, there's a lot of questions, right? We talked about Dio. We talked about Kuntz. Like, these guys that are going to get paid, how much are you willing to put down on them knowing that they're coming off of injuries or things like that? Charles Omenihu, another one, right? So those are all questions that they have to be comfortable with the answer. And you know, we have to understand, too, like, you know, if they sign Josh Sweat, he's coming off a down year outside of the playoffs, right? Was really, really good in the playoffs. His best career season was under Jonathan Gannon. But when you look at it again, that Philly D line, he's going to go from being the third guy or fourth guy along that defensive line to the top guy.
He's going to have to be the guy. So, yeah, let's keep this rolling. I know you're limited on time. So coming up next on the Rest of Your Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk a little bit. Let's run through the last few positions. We got off the ball linebacker, the defensive backs, and touch on special teams. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. Back on the Rise of Sea Red Podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk linebacker. Something off the ball. Are we working under the assumption that Kizer is gone? I feel that's happening.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, right? I mean, it feels like it. And then the news came out, a guy that you and I discussed the other day, Ernest Jones, that he's going to have gonna surgery.
He's going to re-up with Seattle. But yeah, the knee's been a thing for him. So let's look at some of the guys out there. My guess is they're going to bring back Chris Barnes. He's one of the guys that they want to bring back because he brings that special teams potential starter, decent backup. But I don't think they're going to count on him as a starter. So unless they think Owen Papau's ready, and based on what we've seen from him, I don't think they're ready for that. They would love for him to be that, but he's been core special teams guy. So let's. So who are linebackers that we could potentially see them go with? Because that's not going to be an easy thing, is it?
No, the couple of names that I like, Jermaine Sherwood from the Jets. You know, the Jets, despite all their issues last year, the Jets did have a very good defense still, right? Sherwood's a guy that's proven to be a talented run and chase linebacker. Last year, 158 tackles. I think he led the NFL in solo tackles last year too. So, you know, a guy, and he's young. He's only 25, just turned 25. So he's a guy that we've mentioned on here. He'll be 28 this year, coming off the injury. But Dre Greenlaw, man, like. Especially if he feels disrespected by the Niners, is that not?
Oh, I'd love that.
Is that not just a risk to take, like a 1 year, $8 million deal, and say like, hey, you know, come prove it, and come prove it in the division, right? Like you get to play, you get to play in front of them twice a year. You know, those are guys that I look at that I like. You know, from there it gets, there's not a whole lot in this group. I mean, there's some talent. I don't want anybody to get me wrong, but it's not like the year that, what's the kid, CJ Mosley, right? Or, you know, and things like that. Like you're looking at this and you're going, okay, you know, Dre Greenlaw's good. Obviously, Zach Bond's off the market already. I'm not a big Nick Bolton guy, so I would stay away from him. And then the other names are just like Bobby Wagner is an upgrade, but like
he just I just saw a tweet that he re-upped with Washington.
Okay, and he's 35. So that was my next point. You know, Lavonte David, again, very, very good. Probably would be the captain of this defense immediately. 35. So it's like, do you really want to go do that? Or do you want to, you know, wait and see or go to the next group of guys? You know, and so I think the interesting ones to me would be, you know, Robert Spillane is an interesting one from the Raiders. His projections, you know, more than reasonable. I think it's right around $7-8 million a year. He, again, a guy that would just come in and immediately be the captain of the defense. But again, I don't think he's good enough in coverage, right? Like, is he a guy that you want to go get over the guys you have? Whereas Sherwood is a little bit better in coverage. Tyrell Dotson, another young one. He's the opposite. He's been struggling in the run game, you know, even getting waived by Seattle last year so they can bring in Ernest Jones. But he's great in coverage. Like, would he be a good pairing with Mac, right? Like, those are the yeah. questions you have. But this isn't a class, or, you know, the strength of the class is definitely the defensive line and the defensive or the edge rushers. I wouldn't go crazy. Dre Greenlaw would be my first guy that I'd go after, and then Jamin Sherwood would be next. And then if you don't love anybody, you know, the draft is loaded, as we discussed the other day.
Yes. Let's look at, well, let's look under the assumption that they're not going to do anything of note at safety. At cornerback, I don't think it'll be a priority, but they might add low end, like a name that I think, you know, Avante Maddox, I think fits the bill. Low end guy, been in the system, can play in the slot. But they like the, like, they've got Murphy Bunting. Garrett Williams is great. They believe Max Melton's going to be great. And that you've got Star Thomas still that they believe in. He played a lot last season, and they got Elijah Jones. And so I think they might add, but a very low end guy who has played some starting reps, could be come off the bench, that type of thing. And I think a guy like Avante Maddox fits the bill. Christian Fulton, who's never been able to put it together yet, could fit that bill.
There's one veteran I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
And that's if they're interested in moving Garrett Williams outside. Mm-hmm. Mike Hilton, the Bengals slot guy, who's one of the best slot corners in the NFL. They didn't bring him back. You know, again, if they're like you said, I don't think it's a priority, but if they look at it and go, you know what, you know, we like Max Garrett, and then we could bring Hilton in, like, that would be interesting to me. Obviously, yeah. DJ Reed is the guy in that instance, but he's younger, he's going to cost more. You know, Hilton is a guy that could be that veteran presence, and kind of, you know, go from that direction. That's the one name that I'm. But again, we don't really know what their plan is, so it's hard to speculate, because it's not, like you said, it's not a need. But they might say, like, hey, you know, we want to get these young guys on the field, but we do feel like we need a veteran, but we want Garrett to get some work outside too. And then if it doesn't work, you know, it's not a big deal. We have Sean Murphy, Bunting, and we're fine with having Garrett Williams and Mike Hilton on the roster. Like, it's not a, you know, it's not a bad thing to have both those guys on your team.
And they'll bring back Aaron Brewer.
Eventually, right?
They'll bring him back at some point. And other than that, I don't know enough about the long snappers to say, hey, we'll go get him. They're going to have a long snapper. And with that, that is our free agency preview. Seth's got to get going. So that will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Seaward podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We will have a show late next week to let some of the free agency stuff settle, probably a Thursday afternoon recording after we've gotten some information. But until then, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red. Whoa!